Okay, we are up to Daf Chaf Gimel. We are on Chaf Beis Amid Beis at the two dots, basically the last third of the page, 2, 4, 6, about 11 lines up into the from the bottom into the skinny lines before you get to the larger lines, and we're at the two dots. So we the last few dapim have basically been about one subject, and that is the first chumra of the Mishnah, or rather the first difference in the Mishnah between Kodesh and Truma. That is to say that can you tovel one kli inside of another kli? And now we are going to move on to the rest of the chumras that differentiate between Kodesh and Truma, and we begin with Acharayim V'toch. So there's a whole question of what do we do with the differentiation, or is there one or not, regarding the Acharayim V'toch. Acharayim V'toch literally mean the outside and the inside. What they're likely talking about is that, you know, that if you have a think of like any sort of a trophy or any sort of like an ancient vessel. So there was like a top area that would hold something, and then there was a base area that would hold that top area up. Now that base area, if you take it apart from the top area, it could also be used in it as a kli in its own right. The bottom is hollow. You could detach it, use it as a cup, use it as a bowl, whatever. So technically, there are you might say that these are two separate vessels. So regarding tuma on a deoraisa, on a Torah level, if something touches one of these, the bottom or the top, so then the whole thing's going to become tummy. However, midarabanan, which seems to be the tuma that we're talking about in reference to this in our Mishnah, it's the question is, if a derabanan tuma is matame, the bottom or the top, so then is the whole thing going to be considered tame, or just that individual part, even though they're connected? But since you can imagine that these two things would be separate kelim, so would they then go ahead and not be fully tummy? So basically the Mishnah says that when it comes to Kodesh product, a Kodesh item, we assume that this kli is fully tummy. When it comes to Truma, we assume that this kli is only that part that was tummified is tummy, but the other part is not tummy. So again, Acharayim B'toch. So the outside and the inside of the kli, regarding Truma, they're going to be separate, but regarding Kodesh, they're going to be considered one full item, and therefore, if one of them is tummy, the whole thing is tummy. Okay, says the Gemara, Ma Acharayim B'toch. Wait, what does it mean when the Mishnah says Acharayim B'toch? Kitanam, we learned in the Mishnah, Kli Shenitma Acharav B'mashkin. If you have a Kli who's outside, it's sort of contracted Tuma through coming into contact with tummy liquids, Acharav Tumein. So we say the outside is tummy, Tocho Ogno Azno V'Yadav Tehorin, but the inside, it's a rim, which you can imagine, I guess that's like the upper lip, the ear, meaning like the, imagine like a handle that looks like an ear, and the handles, like, imagine like a straight handle, like you have like on a frying pan or whatever, all of these things are going to be Tahor, only the outside is Tameh. Nitma Tocho, but if it became Tameh inside, Kula Tameh, then the whole thing is Tameh, everything, outside, inside, and all these other parts as well. So essentially what our Mishnah means is that when it comes to the outside and the inside, they are normally considered separate kelim, such that if the outside becomes tummy, the inside does not necessarily become tummy. However, when it comes to the inside, if the inside is made tummy, then the whole thing will be considered tummy. So now there essentially are two different ways to understand this Mishnah. One is certainly easier to conceptualize the way that we just explained a few moments ago, that there's a top and a bottom, and that's what it means outside, inside. There seemingly is another way to understand this, that is to say that there is, the outside of the kli has one use, and the inside of the kli has one use. What do you mean? How does that work? Unclear exactly. That's what it means when we say that there are two separate elements to the kli. Anyways, when it comes to truma, so how would this have worked? So again, so the if the outside becomes tummy, the inside may not become tummy. However, even regarding Kodesh, it would still become tummy. However, regarding Truma, if the inside became, let's say again, if the inside became Tuma, then the outside will become then the outside and every other part would become tame, even for truma, because when the inside becomes tame, then there is a it's too bad for every other part. It's only when the outside becomes tame first, then there are other leniencies as they apply to truma, but not to kodesh. Okay, that was one statement of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah went further. It said ubei tatzvita. We basically translated this, if I remember correctly, as the tzvita place. What in the world is it? What in the world is it tzvita? What part of the kli is the tzvita on? My base hasvita says the Gemara, what is this? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda's name is Shmuel, Makom Shen Softo. Very simple. It's the place by which I will hand it to others. So in other words, it's like the handle. The Kain Hu Omer, and the Pasuk says in the Megillas Rus, that it's Bat Lakali, and he handed her some like parched grain. So it must mean that this is the area, this is the handle that you have in a kli. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yossi says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, no, Malcolm Shineki Hadas Tzovin. It's the place in which like people who are like very delicate, seemingly some kind of an istinus, these like very delicate people, so it's the place where they dip their food. So in other words, it's a different area on the clay that was put aside basically for these istinus kind of people to dip their food in it. And then I don't know if this is at all what it's talking about, but perhaps you know like those like hot lunch trays that they have where there's like separate compartments. So there's a little compartment for the guy who likes to put his ketchup in the little corner. He doesn't want to touch anything else. That seems to be what we're talking about. That's the Beit HaTzvita. Okay, says the Gemara further. Tani Rav Bibi Kamei de Rav Nachman. So Rav Bibi taught the following brayse in front of Rav Nachman. Kol hakelim in lahem achorayim betoch. All vessels, all kelim, will have no differentiation, no sort of distinction whatsoever between the outside and the inside. Echad kashi hamikdash. Whether it's regarding the holy things of the Beis Hamikdash, meaning that which are kodesh, the echad kashi hagvul, or regarding the literally kashi hagvul means like the holy things of the borders. We understand this to mean let's just stop right there, because the Gemara is about to explain what does it mean, kachi hagvul. Whatever it is, evidently, regarding these two places, the outside and the inside are going to essentially be considered the same thing. Amar Leir of Nachman said to Rav Bibi, kachi hagvul, meininu, what in the world are these holy things of the borders that that we're talking about in the Braisa? Truma? Do you mean truma? That for truma, in distinction in distinction to that which is Kodesh, that can only be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash or within Yerushalayim, so Truma could be eaten throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the case, Vatnan, but it can't be, because Achorayim Betocho Beis HaTzvita LeTruma, that the outside, inside, and the Tzvita place are considered separate Kalim regarding the Truma. So in other words, our Mishnah seems to disprove that this other thing brought up over here, this Kodesh Gvul, could be talking about Truma. So Zoma LeChulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. So we say, maybe the holy things of the borders that you refer to we're specifically talking about chulin that was prepared according to the tahara level of kodesh. So in other words, these two items, both chulin prepared as kodesh and kodesh itself, are the same in that they both treat the outside and the inside of a kli the same exact way. And that actually makes a lot of sense, because ad de kartan milsa de amarabba barabu. So you remind me, said the Gemara, of the following statement that Rabbi Baravuha said, that Achad Asrei Ma'ados Shanukan, they taught in the Mishnah 11 different differentiations between Truma and Kodesh, but Shish Rishonos, the first six, being the Kodesh, being the Chulin, Shenazu Altar HaKodesh, the first six applied to both the Kodesh and to the Chulin that were made according to the Tahara level of Kodesh. Achronos the Kodesh, but the last five apply only to Kodesh, Avalo the Chulin, Shenazu Altar HaKodesh, but not to the Chulin that were made according to the Tahara standard of Kodesh. Okay, so that is the next part of the Gemara. Now, further says the Gemara, Hanosei es hamidras, nosei es hatruma. So now we are going to talk about the case of someone who is carrying a midras, and he's also simultaneously carrying a hekdesh item. So the Mishnah said that someone can carry something that is a tumas midras in one hand, and at the same time, in the other hand, he can carry a barrel of truma, bava lo es hakodesh, but he cannot carry kodesh in the other hand, only truma when he has midras in one hand. So says the Gemara, what? Kodesh, my time alo. What's the reason that he can't carry kodesh? Mishum maase. So the Gemara says, oh, it's because there was a specific story that once took place. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said name of Shmuel, Masa be'echad shehaya ma'avir chavis shel yayin, kodesh mimakum lemakum. There was one time a story with someone who was carrying a barrel of hektesh, of kodesh wine, from one place to another. And what do you know? What happened? We're now on the Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, v'nifsaka ritsua shel sandlo, that the strap of his sandal broke off. Unatala v'hinicha al pi chavez, and he took it and he placed it on the barrel. V'nafla la'avir hechavez, and it fell into... I guess he took the midrash, and he took it and he placed it on the barrel, the nafla of the avir chavez, and it fell into the airspace of the barrel, and then basically the barrel became tame. V'osa shah amru, and therefore they said, no seyas ha midrash, no seyas ha truma. Someone who's carrying a midrash may simultaneously carry truma, but lo asa kodesh, but he can't carry kodesh. Says the Gemara, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Ihachi, if this is so, that this chumra came from an actual maisa, then truma nami, so that you should be just as concerned that such a thing would happen with truma. Meaning, if you want to say it's a chumrah because we want to be extra careful with kodesh, so fine. So, okay, I understand that. But an actual case occurred where you saw this take place. Someone was metami the kodesh because of this. So we don't want to be metami the truma either. And we see it could happen. So don't let the same thing happen to truma that happened to the kodesh as well. So says the Gemara. Ha money, no. Who is the Tana of the Mishnah that says that who always says that whenever there was a takana that was made, it was always sort of prompted by a specific incident, and it always is sort of connected in that same way, that it always applies only to that same incident. So Rabbi Chananya ben Akavihi, so it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah that was authored by Rabbi Chananya ben Akavihi. Damar who says. Lo asru ela vayardin uva uvesfina. So we're going to see what this case is in a second. But basically, he says that in a similar case of a restriction, the rabbis did not limit; they didn't prohibit the non ground transportation of chatas water or chatas ashes. The only time they limited it was in a case that involves the Yardin River and traveling in a boat. That's when they said no go. If you have both of those things, you can't travel that way with the chatas water or chatas ashes. Which is how the incident that caused the decree, that's how it occurred. It occurred specifically with these two items. And therefore, so to in our Mishnah, the way the incident happened was with a midras and with a Kodesh item, and therefore it only applies to Kodesh and only applies to midras and Kodesh and not to midras and Truma. So says the Gemara, okay, wait, let's, so fine. He's the author of our Mishnah who takes things very literally in that way. Mahi, but what in the world is this case that we just mentioned with Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia, where he made the statement in the first place to Tanya, because we had a bright. So says the Gemara, "Leisa adam mechatas ve'efer chatas." A person can't carry chatas water or chatas ashes ve'avirem beyardin uvesfina, and like bring them across the yardin and in a boat. Velo yamod b'tzad zev yizrakim letzad acher. It says the verse further that nor should a person stand on one side of a river and throw them across to the other side. Velo yishitem al pnei hamayim, nor should he float them across the water. Velo yirkav al gabi behima, velo al gabi chaveru, nor should he ride upon an animal or on his friend. Ela imkin hayu raglav nogos bakarka, unless his feet were touching the ground. Aval ma'aviran al gabi hagesher ve'ino choshish, but he can bring them over like on a bridge, and he doesn't need to be concerned that he would be violating this takana. Echad hayardin ve'echad sharan hanharos, and this replies whether the guy is taking it over the yardin or any other river. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia says lo asru ela ve'yardin uvesfina. Right, so apologize. So let's go back 1 second. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia Omer. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia says lo asr el v'yardin v'svina. So the Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia says that the rabbis didn't prohibit this non-ground transportation of chatas water or ashes unless the case involves the yardin river and traveling in a boat. Chumay seshaya, which is how the incident caused this takana to take place. That occurred. My masa shaya. What actually happened? Amar Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yehuda Rabbi said the name Rav Masa by the Mecha. There was a certain story that happened with a person. He was taking chatas water and chatas ashes over the Yarden in a boat. And then there was a kazayas. There was an olive sized piece of a human corpse that was found sort of like in the floor of the boat. And at that time the rabbi said, Lo yisa adam chatas veifer chatas. A person shouldn't take chatas water and chatas ashes. And transport them across the Yarden in a boat. Okay, good. It says the Gemara further. Now, three questions of which we will only answer one of the questions. Ibailu, they asked Sandal Tamid. So the Mishnah is clearly is forbidding someone from carrying kodesh together with a sandal that is tame, but sandal tahar mahu. So the case that we were essentially concerned about, right? Going back, it seems that the case was as follows. That the guy had this sandal that was tame, and then he touches the sandal, and the sandal touches the barrel, and then the barrel becomes tame. So, says the Gemara, fine. That's when sandal tame. But sandal tahor mahu, what's the halacha when he's carrying kodesh with a sandal that is tahor? So is this also going to be included in the takana that you can't carry kodesh and a sandal tahor? So that's one question. Chavis psucha, and clearly we're talking in a Mishnah when the Mishnah says there were. Clearly, in the case of the Mishnah, we're talking about an open barrel of Kodesh. Chavis stuma mahu, but what happens if the barrel is closed? Is that a part of the takana or not? And then avar v'nasa mahu, and what is the halacha where a person violates this takana? And he does carry this midras together with a barrel of Kodesh. So does the barrel of Kodesh automatically become tame, or is it only if something actually ends up happening in the end? So Rabbi Ila Amar, Rabbi Ila says, im avar v'nasa tame. If one was over and he carried the midrash together with the barrel of kodesh, the kodesh automatically becomes tummy. But Rabbi Zira Amar, Rabbi Zira says, what are you talking about? Afar benasa tar, if one did do this and carried a midrash together with a barrel of kodesh, then the kodesh evidently at the end of the day is going to remain tar if nothing happened. Why should it automatically become tummy? Okay, says the Gemara of Eitra now. Kelim ha-nigmarim b'tahara. So we have a case of the Mishnah that it says that when we have kelim that are completed in a state of tahara, that they need to be tovelled before they could be used for kodesh purposes. However, they do not need to be tovelled before they are used for truma purposes. Says the Gemara, de gam rinhuman. So the Mishnah refers to where the creation of the vessels were being completed by whom? Ilema de gam rinhu chavir. If you say it's talking about a chavir who was finishing up these vessels, lama lehu tvila? Why would they need tvila? Clearly, we say that he's careful with the tuma of it. He's a chavir. Ela de gam rinhu amaretz. Will you say maybe we're talking about the completion of a vessel by an am haaretz? Says the Gemara, Nigmarin Bitahara Kari Lehu. But then would the Tana then say that the Kelim were finished, that they were completed being made in a state of Tahara? No, because in Amar it says the assumption would be that they're tummy, not that they're completed in a state of Tahara. So therefore the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Olam de Gam Renu Chaver. Really, we're talking about a case that the Mishnah is talking about where someone, that it was a Chaver who completed the making of the Kli. Umishum Sinora de Am Ha'aretz, and we're concerned about the possibility that maybe they got Tuma from like the spit or something like that of an am haaretz, and that's why the kli needs to be tovelled before it can interact with the kodesh. Denafel emas. So Shmuel means that the spit fell on the vessel. At what point exactly? If you say that it was before the chaver completed making it, so halav manahu. So it wasn't considered a kli yet because he wasn't finished, and therefore it can't contract toma. So who cares? Ela basar de gumri, and will you say that the spit that fell on it was after the chaver finished making it? But that can't be because once the chaver is finished making the kli, mizhar zihir bu, he's very careful with it and make sure that no toma it gets in touch with it. So what is Shmuel actually talking about? So la olam mikame de gumri. Actually, we're talking about a case where the spit might have fallen on the kli before the chaver actually finished making it, but and at that point it cannot be makabel tuma. But b'dilma be'idna de gamri adayan lachahi. Maybe the kli can't contract tuma now before it's finished, but maybe the spit, maybe the kli was almost finished, and the spit went on the kli, and then it was finished, and then the spit was still moist, and if it was still moist, then that could be matami the kli, and that's what we are concerned about. Fine. So now the Gemara says further, tevila ein he'erev shemesh lo. So regarding these kelim that we're talking about that were completed in a state of tahara, that they need tevila for kodesh, but they do not need tevila for truma. So again, tevila ain ha'erev shemesh lo. So that means they need tevila, but they do not need the night to pass. Meaning they don't need tzisa kuchavim to come. They don't require that. They just need to be toveled, and then they will become immediately tahor even before the night comes. Masnisin delok Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore says the Gemara. So the Mishnah then is not in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who now the Gemara is going to explain. Says that the passage of nightfall in general is required for kelim that are completed in a state of tahara. That the only way they become fully tahor is if the night arrives as well. Did not, because we learned in a Mishnah shuhaferes shechasacha l'chatas, that when you have a reed tube that one cut for putting chatas ashes in it. Rabbi Eliezer says yitbol miyad. He has to be tovel it immediately. And Rabbi Yeshua says yitamei v'achakach yitbol. He first has to make it tamei, and then he has to tovel it. So says the Gemara. We have to explain this. How do we understand this idea that Rabbi Eliezer says you have to be tovel the thing immediately, that must mean that we know that he requires the passage of nightfall, that he cease has to come as well before the item could become tahor, as opposed to Rabbi Yehoshua, who says the first you have to be matami, then you could be metaheret in through tevila. So says the Gemara. Now the Havinan ba, we asked in regards to the conversation concerning this Mishnah, the Chasacha Man, the Mishnah is referring to a case where who cut the tube, right? Similar to who finished the kli. Here, who cut the tube? Ilema the Chasacha Chavir. If you will say that a Chavir is the one who cut it, Lama li tfil, then why would I need to be tovel it? It's clearly tahor. The Ela the Chasacha Amaretz. You must say maybe it's the Amaretz who cut it. So then why would Rabbi Yeshua be saying that first he has to make a tamei and then be tovel it? Ha tamei the kai. Clearly was already considered tamei because the Amaretz was the one who cut it. Rabba Barshila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, and answering this question, so they said, Li Olam the Chasacha Chaver. Really, we're talking about a case where the Mishnah was talking about a Chaver who cut it. Umishum Tsinora Dam Aretz, and just like the previous case, so too over here, we're concerned about the possibility that maybe the tube became Tameh from some spit of an Am Aretz, and says the Gemara, what? Tanafel Amos, what do you mean? When would the spit have fallen on the tube? Ilam Amikame Delichatcha, if you say that maybe it fell on the tube before the Chaver cut it off, then who cares? Halav manahu. Then it wasn't actually considered a kli, so then it became come tame. Vela basur de chasach. And if you will say it was after he cut it off, but there's no way that this would happen because the chaver wouldn't have allowed it to take place. He's very careful with it. Mizar Zahirba, he's certainly very careful with it. So what then could the case actually be? So the olam mikame delichatcha. Really, we're talking about Shmuel is talking about the case where that the chaver cut it. He was the one who did it, but maybe the Amaretz's spit fell on it before it was cut. Then he cut it, and Dilma be'idna techasacha dayan lachi. Maybe it's still wet, and then it could be metame once he cuts it off, and it has the status of a kli. Now the Gemara says further. So with this in mind, showing why Rabbi Eliezer cannot agree with our Mishnah, because Bishlam el Rabbi Yeshua. I understand according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that the tube first has to be cut, be made tame, and only then can it be tovel in a mikvah, because haino de'ika hekira letzduken, because this is how we demonstrate, we're demonstrating that we're negating the view of the tzedukim. So this is a little complicated to follow, so stay with me. So, right, so this is how we show that we are negating the view of the tzedukim. How so? Ditnan, for we learned in a Mishnah, mitamin hayu es hakohen hasarif es hapara, so that they would purposely make tame the kohen who was to burn the para aduma, lahotzi mi liban, shel tzedokin, in order to discredit that which the tzedukim say, who used to say that the service of the paraduma could be performed by kohanim, who had become tummy only if they had already experienced nightfall after their immersion. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's understandable how being tovel, this cut tube, and using it before it says, is a clear repudiation against that which the Sadukim say, because he says the tube needs to be mitame first, and therefore the tube is being used for the paraduma ashes, despite the fact that it is a tvul yom, so you don't have says like the Sadukim say. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the tube was not deliberately mitame, rather it was just put in the mikvah, and to make it tahor from the tuma, then how does any of this go repudiate the view of the tzedukin? I amrat b'shlama ba'alma b'inan ha'erev shemesh. It maybe you can say that according to Rabbi Lezer, ordinarily we do require the passage of nightfall that says has to come after the tvila for kelim that were completed in tahor to become tahor. But hayno de'ika hekir latzedukin. Because then we can understand that no, there is a clear demonstration in Rabbi Eliezer's cut to procedure to go against the view of the tzedukim, because when other kelim which are completed in a state of, right, okay, because when it comes to maybe it makes sense if you say that according to Rabbi Lezer, normally we do require the passage of Tseis after being Tovel, Kalim that are completed in Tahara to become Tor, then Haino Deika Hekira Letzdukin, because then we can understand that there is a clear demonstration on Rabbi Eliezer's part that the cut to procedure to negate the view of the Tzedukim, because other Kalim we do say that are finished in a state of Tahara, that they need Tevila and says to become tahor, but the cut tube is that's used for the paraduma service, so that it can be used right after tevila, but before nightfall, while still has the status of a tevil yom. So maybe that's how he negates the tzedukim. Ella, iam rat be'ama lo be'inan harav shemesh. But if you say that according to Rabbi Lezer, ordinarily that we don't require the passage of says after being told with a kelim, then my hekir let's do kinika. Then what our demonstration to go against the view of the tzedukim is there in Rabbi Lezer? Cut to procedure. If you don't say that he normally holds that that you need seis, then how does the case over here in Rabbi Eliezer's mindset go against the tzedukim? Therefore, it's clear that in his perspective, the kli that was completed in a state of tahara is always considered completely tahor immediately once it is tovel, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer has to hold that the kelim completed in a state of tahara usually require immersion and then the passage of nightfall, which seems to be against the inference that's drawn in our Mishnah. So therefore, it's clear that the Mishnah does not hold like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer would say that you need seis and tevila, and therefore that cannot be like our Mishnah says. The Gemara, right? 1 second. Right, okay, good. Weiter. So therefore, the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, now, says the Gemara further, Amar Rav said, it could be that our Mishnah actually does go according to the view of Rabbi Eliezer. How so? So, asa'uha kitmei sheretz, that the rabbis made the tube that was cut for the ashes of the paraduma, that they made it the equivalent of a sheretz contaminated object. Right, so that the rabbis considered it at this level of a sheretz contaminated object. So the Gemara says, wait, what if that's the case? Elameata, but if this is true, that the tube is going to be treated like a sheretz contaminated object, lo titame adam, then it shouldn't have the ability to make another person tame. Then alamatanya. So then why has it been taught elsewhere in a brisa that chotcha umatbila tun tvila, that the one who cuts the tube or is tobel, it requires tvila? We see then it has to be more than just a sheretz contaminated, considered to be a sheretz contaminated tube. So the ela asua kitmei mace. Maybe you're going to say that they treated it like it was a tmei mace, something that became tamei through a mace. Ihafi, if this is so, tibaya hazaas shlishi ushvi. So then it should require huzzah, you should have to have the sprinkling done on the third and seventh days in order for it to become tahor. Alamatanya. So why then was it taught in the Braise that chutcha matvila ton tvila? The one who cuts the tube or immerses it requires tvila. Tvila ein hazah shlishi yishvi lo. That you need tvila, but you don't need sprinkling on the third and the seventh days. So therefore, says the Gemara, ela asa'uha kitmei meis b'shvi'i shalo. That they treated it like a tamei meis, something that was made tamei through a meis, but it was like a tamei meis on the seventh day of its tahara process. So vatani, the Braisa says, may olam lo chidshu davar bepara. The rabbis never sort of innovated any matters of tuma regarding preparing of the paraduma, even though there were these very high standards of tahara that were instituted for it, they never like mamish made something new. So how can you say that the cut tube is going to be treated as if it contracted tumah from a mace, unlike other kelim that are completed in a state of tahara? Wouldn't this be a real chiddush, a real innovation? So Amar Abaya says shalo amru kordom mitame moshav, that the intent of the brace is that they never said any complete innovation, meaning that would make something tummy which is not susceptible to tumma, meaning they would never say that if you have a cordom that it's some sort of like a, I guess like a clear, whatever it is, that someone might use as a seat. So that they would never say that this cordom could become tummy like the seat of a zav. That kidatani that we had taught in the brisa, yoshev al hakli, that the one who sits on a kli. Kidatani was son of Rabbi Sava Yoshev al HaKli. The pasuk says that one who sits upon a kli. So Yachol Kafas V'Yashav Aleha. So it would be possible to think that if a Zav turned over a Sa'a container and sat in it, Tarkav V'Yashav Aleha, or if he turned over a Tarkav, these are just different types of containers, and sat in it, Yehei Tami, that it would be Tami. Tami Lomar. Therefore, the Torah says otherwise. V'Yoshev al HaKli Asher Yishiv al HaYitma. That a one who sits upon a kli, upon which the zav is sitting, is going to become tamei. Mi shem yuchad the yeshiva. So the use of this the tense in the pasuk is implying that the tamei is contracted only by a kli that is going to be considered normally reserved for sitting. So yatsa zeh. So therefore, this excludes a kli that is like a measuring kli. Sheomrim lo amod. Regarding which we could say to the zav who's sitting on it, stand up and let us do our work with this kli. So therefore, the same is true with this kardom as well. That's not normally reserved for sitting. That it's not susceptible to becoming tamei as the seat of a zav. And the rabbis therefore were mechadish something to that extent. But the rabbis in theory could have had a chiddush to treat the cut tube as if it was tamei mace, even though it didn't actually, since the tube is it could be susceptible to a tuma of that level. Okay, with that, we will stop right here. God willing, pick up next week. But for now, I wish everyone a beautiful evening.